right, so we dismiss the children to children's church at this time. There's a special lesson waiting for you down there. While you're going, anybody, a little trivia just to help fill the time while you're traveling. How many wise men did Matthew say there were? How many magi? He didn't say. The gospel doesn't say. Do you know that? It doesn't say three. It just says there were three gifts, frankincense, gold, and myrrh. And so we just kind of assume it was one each. Those of you, anybody gone to pilgrimage? Any of our youth here gone to pilgrimage? Did you go to the pilgrimage where you saw the skit guys a couple years ago? Do you remember that one? They have a great video out there about the fourth wise man who decided it would be a good idea to bring hummus to the Christ child. You know, so I encourage you, it's got a great message. Any of you can go look it up on YouTube. It's a comedy, but there's a very poignant message in there about just offering God what we have and offering our best. So gold, frankincense, myrrh, and hummus. Well, happy Epiphany. This is the day when we celebrate the holy day of Epiphany to make manifest an illuminating discovery, a realization or disclosure. This day of Epiphany celebrates the arrival of the Magi, the sky watchers, the foreign wise people who have come a long way to pay homage to the baby Jesus. We read the story this morning, and I wonder, what is specifically the Epiphany moment? Was it that Jesus' mother Mary registered for a baby shower and indicated she was looking for a five-point harnessed donkey seat for her baby, maybe? Or an IKEA feeding trough or manger? Or some cute swaddling clothes, as well as gold, frankincense, myrrh, and hummus? No, that's not the Epiphany moment. The lectionary scriptures for this Epiphany feast day include the story in Matthew that we just read, but also include a text from the Old Testament prophet Isaiah from the 60th chapter. Isaiah chapter 60, we read this. Arise, shine, for your light has come. The glory of the Lord has risen upon you. For darkness shall cover the earth, and thick darkness the peoples. But the Lord will arise upon you, and his glory will appear over you. Nations shall come to your light, and kings to the brightness of your dawn. So lift up your eyes and look around. They all gather together. They come to you. Your sons shall come from far away. Your daughters shall be carried on their nurses' arms. Then you shall see and be radiant. Your heart shall thrill and rejoice because the abundance of the sea shall be brought to you. The wealth of the nations shall come to you. A multitude of camels shall cover you. The young camels of Midian and Ephah, all those from Sheba shall come. They shall bring gold and frankincense and shall proclaim the praise of the Lord. This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. Arise, shine, for your light has come and the glory of the Lord has risen upon you. Nations shall come to your light and kings to the brightness of your dawn. Epiphany celebrates not just the story of the wise men coming to see the baby Jesus, as our children brought forth this morning to put in our nativity set there, but the essence of what the coming of the Magi represents. This passage from Isaiah really fills in the story in our imaginations and is the basis for we three kings. It's kings that will come from other nations. Matthew's gospel just says Magi, wise people, astrologers, sky watchers, but Isaiah says that kings will come from afar. Here in Isaiah's passage, we have the camels. We have the wealth of the nations, which takes its form in gold and frankincense in Isaiah's book. God's light is revealed to the nations, and Matthew records that the symbol of that light was a new star which appeared and came to rest over Bethlehem. That makes sense, doesn't it? If the old prophecy said that God's light would rise above you, that it would be like a star rising in the east, that makes sense. And so that's what happened as Matthew recorded it. God's light is revealed not just to the folks in Bethlehem of Judea, where Jesus was laid in a manger, not just to the faithful followers of God, of Yahweh, but to the Jews in Israel, but to all the nations, to the Gentiles. And indeed, the first to recognize the arrival of the Messiah were those who, as we say around here, weren't from around here. So Epiphany is a day that celebrates the revelation, the manifestation, the making apparent, the aha moment, if you will, that God's plan is for the saving of the nations. And the first people to come and pay homage to this child king probably didn't speak the language of this king's parents. What a great thing! It was like a lighthouse shining on a stormy night to keep us off the dangerous rocks. It was like a warm fire burning in a village to act as a beacon to a lost and suffering wanderer in the mountains. It was like a candle lit in a window as a light of hope and a home for a soldier overseas to dream of returning to. It was like a nightlight of comfort for a toddler in a nursery, but it was so much more. But there was another side to this story of revelation. While the Magi go to Herod and ask, "Where is the one who has born, who has been born king of the Jews?" Now get this, the Magi go to the king and ask the king, "Where's the one who was born king of the Jews, the people that you're supposed to be ruling over?" Herod's own researchers confirm, yes, there's prophecy that says a ruler will come from Judea. Herod wasn't up on this prophecy, but he is alarmed. So he tries to enlist the help of these foreigners. "When you have found this special baby, come to me and tell me about it so that I can go and worship him too." Now, do we trust Herod? Is that why he wanted to know where this baby was born? No. Let me hear you say no. But they, the wise men, are warned in a dream not to go back the way they came, not to reveal the child to Herod. And they take their caravan and they quietly sneak away. Joseph, too, is warned in a dream after the passage that we read of Herod's intentions. And so he packs up Mary and the baby Jesus, and they, too, flee Herod's domain. And they run to Egypt, crossing out of their nation because of the danger to their lives until it is safe to return. And then if we were to keep reading, we would read about the tragic abuse of power that is recorded there as the enraged Herod orders that all the children under age 2 from Bethlehem are to be killed so that the king of the Jews would no longer be a threat to Herod's family. So this revelation of God's love to the Gentiles, this epiphany, elicits two very different responses. The wise people from afar who follow God's light, who honor the baby, the Christ child, who offer themselves to him, and the threatened response, the king who senses his power is at risk, who will lose control of his legacy, and who orders violence to eliminate the threat. This revelation of God's love to the Gentiles, this following of God's light wherever it leads, even if it leads across deserts and to strange lands, this offering of gifts in service to a true king, this revelation of God's light, but also this threatening of earthly power, this violent response, this having to choose between doing the bidding of an earthly king and doing the bidding of God's saving light. That is Epiphany. Think about the wise men. They had to go. The ruler of the country tells them to do something, and then in a dream, they're told to do something else, and they have to choose. So often, the light of Christ, the word of God, breaks into our life and causes us to choose. Which path will we follow? That is Epiphany. The lessons are very clear. God's light is a saving light to the nations, and by nations, that's not just the United States of America nation, all nations. In the prophecy of Isaiah, the gifts God is bringing together are from modern day, well, it says they're from Sheba. And if you look on an old biblical map, Sheba is Saudi Arabia and Yemen in the present day. That's where these Magi came from. If this morning, A regal entourage from Saudi Arabia arrived at our door riding on camels, wanting to learn about and pay homage to the one who we worship. Would we receive them? If tonight, when you went to sleep, an angel of the Lord appeared to you in a dream and told you that you would need to, I don't know, liquidate some investment account to fund a humanitarian mission to famine-plagued, war-torn Yemen, would you follow the star? Or if after a successful career employing people, you felt the nudge to organize a nonprofit to provide some vital service to the least, the lost, the lonely, would you follow the star? Or in response to God's shining light, which leaves open a myriad of responses, would we feel threatened? If someone in our church felt they needed to help another church, or someone felt that we needed to allocate our church money to give gifts we'll never see a return on, or someone wanted to dedicate a week or a month or a year or even the rest of their life to serving God, or if someone wanted to get a few people together and strengthen our youth group or take a home repair mission trip or start a new Sunday school class, and that meant that we would have to leave our Sunday school class, would we feel threatened that we were losing a hard worker? Or would we feel generous and grateful that we could participate in paying homage to our Christ King? Now, not many of us have the power to order an army, to order strikes, to eliminate threats to our power like 2-year-old little children. Not many of us have that power. Maybe a few of us in here do, but not many of us. But Jesus dealt with far more people in day-to-day life that had more day-to-day encounters at stake. Do you touch and bring healing to a person with a contagious disease for fear of making yourself unclean? That's what Jesus had to wrestle with. Do you respond to God's abundance by building bigger barns? That's someone who came to Jesus with that question. Do you impose punishment for a debt of someone not repaying a debt? Or do you offer grace as God has been gracious to you? That's something Jesus helped his followers wrestle with. Do you shoo away the little children? Or do you let them come to you that they might know the light of Christ? That's something Jesus had to choose and wrestle with. Do you eat with sinners and tax collectors to share God's grace and acceptance, even if it comes at a cost to your own reputation? That's what Jesus taught us to wrestle with. The message of Epiphany is clear. God's light has come to the nations. This is God's plan from the beginning. We can either recognize the dawning of God's kingdom as good news, responding with generosity and a willingness to follow the light wherever it leads, or we can shield our eyes from its brightness and try with futility to hold on to our own self-made brightness at the expense of others. Please allow me to share with you in closing one of my favorite stories of God's light shining forth. It comes from a man I've quoted and referenced him before, Bishop Desmond Tutu, who was the Archbishop of South Africa. During the deepest, darkest days of apartheid, the government was trying to shut down opposition by canceling a political rally. Well, Archbishop Tutu declared that he would hold a church service instead of a political rally. St. George's Cathedral in Cape Town, South Africa, was filled with worshipers. Outside the cathedral, though, hundreds of police gathered, a show of force intended to intimidate with their billy clubs and their weapons and their notebooks and their cameras to record who was in attendance and what Archbishop Tutu was saying. They stood and lined the sanctuary, recording his words and making notes. Oh, I see that you're here, and you're here, and you're here listening to this rebel, this rabble-rouser. But Tutu would not be intimidated. He preached against the evils of apartheid, declaring it could not endure. At one extraordinary point, he addressed the police directly. He said, "You are powerful. You are very powerful. But you are not gods. And I serve a God who cannot be mocked. So," he said, "since you've already lost, I invite you today to come and join the winning side And at that, the congregation erupted in dance and in song. The police didn't know what to do. Their attempts at intimidation had failed, overcome by the archbishop's confidence that God and goodness would triumph over evil. It was but a matter of time. So when the Magi came to see the infant Christ lying in a stable, they had come to join the winning side, even if they didn't speak the language. Lift up your eyes and look around. Arise, shine, for your light has come, says Isaiah, and the glory of the Lord has risen upon you. Though darkness shall cover the earth and thick darkness the peoples, the Lord will rise up upon you, and God's glory will appear over you. Nations shall come to your light, and kings to the brightness of your dawn. God's light shines. We have the choice as to whether to follow. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit.